But our bishop said, it doesn't sound nice, but I'll say it clear to you. Bishops lie. They lie. Pastor Banky can lie. Like somebody said, they are men of God, not God of men. You know there's a difference? Yes. Men of God means they are first men. And until there's perfection, all right, they can do manly things. The word of God alone is the standard. Was it here we talked the other day? Yes, I think it was here. When we were reading the story of the old prophet and the young prophet. Yes. So no need to go by it again. The young prophet said, no, this old man can't be lying. God must have revised what he said earlier. The same God using the same method that spoke to you the first time had better come back using the same method to speak. Otherwise, don't listen to any other voice. Nobody, apart from that same voice that Abraham heard before, could have stopped him from sacrificing Isaac. It wouldn't be right. You find a clear revelation of the word of God? Please, make up your mind who you want to serve. You don't disobey because, you know what somebody said? It was Pastor Chris Okotie that said it. A member of his church mentioned it to me, one of my neighbors, those days. She said that Pastor Chris said, if two authorities over your head disagree and they give contravening instructions, you have to obey one, disobey the other, then get ready for the judgment of the one you disobeyed. It's a terrible thing to fall into the hand of a living pastor. Amen? Have you heard that one before? I would rather fall into the hand of a living pastor than fall into the hand of the living God. It is not every time God accepts an excuse. It's not every time. Adam had an excuse. Eve had an excuse. God did not say, Adam, it's true. These women, they can be hard. I know. I see their heart. It is a woman I gave to you, I know. When she hounded you, said, don't touch me until you eat the fruit. Hey, women, be careful. You're key husband. Don't touch me unless you eat the fruit. In this house, there will no peace unless you eat the fruit. Adam said, we are not supposed to eat now. This is what you keep on saying. When we say we should eat now, you will not. But if you are the one that says we should eat, we will eat. You know that lie that women tell themselves all the time? One of the worst things they've done to marriage is that thing they keep on saying during wedding. That she was made from your side, you are equal. It's a lie. Until you marry, you are both equal. Once you marry, somebody is superior. You don't like it, stay single. Nobody will kill you. It's true. It's the word of God. Don't worry, we'll talk about it when we get to our seminar. It's called order. What did I call it?
Order.
Anyway, let's get back to our message. Let's not get distracted. He took. He chops. Why are you not wearing clothes? But this is how I've always been. Are you serious? Who stole your clothes? Then go. Who is that? It is God. Go ahead. What happened? We heard your knock. We went and hid. Why are you hiding? We couldn't. I don't know. We hung our clothes somewhere. Somebody took. Who told you you were naked? Then the Lord began to pronounce judgment. That's what I'm talking about. God didn't say to Adam, I understand. It's Eve. Because that was what Adam said. The woman that you gave me, she harassed me until I ate. God gave him his full judgment. That thing that's pressuring you is called temptation. That's all it is. If you fall for it, it's your problem. What am I going to emphasize? The fact that you have an excuse is not good enough. What am I going to say? Don't use anybody as an excuse to disobey God. Are you getting my point? Don't use any human being as an excuse to disobey God. Because that person will not be punished for your sin. You will bear your iniquity by yourself. That was exactly what Paul meant in Galatians chapter 6. He said, each one will bear his own load. Most certainly, you don't use the fact that this is how they do it in my place as an excuse. If he disobeys, if he contravenes the word of God, don't go near it. I keep on saying, why is God doing this? Because he wants to bless us. He's not getting anything personally like that out of it. Why he's taking us through all of this is because without our following these things, he can't bless. You know what he said? Don't follow what these people are following. He said, then he will be a sanctuary. He wants to be the sanctuary. As long as we are following other people's customs, he can't be our sanctuary. He wants to do things for us that we did not know was possible. He wants to protect us from all evil. He wants to make us prosper so much, people look at us and say, this is what they call prosperity. He wants to give us a kind of peace that people have never seen. They do not know exists on this earth. He said, but you know, I can't do it. They fear what the people fear. The customs of the people is what they are following. So Isaiah said, God warned me with a strong hand. With mighty power, he spoke to me and said, make sure that only God is your dread. Don't fear Boko Haram. Are you getting my point? That is, remember the story I told you before? I read about a man called Stonewall Jackson. Stonewall Jackson, they said the man didn't use to dodge bullets. He was a soldier, a general, during the American Civil War. Why am I referring to him? The man said, I am as safe on the battlefield as I am in my bedroom if I'm in the will of God. That guy wouldn't fear going into Sambisa Forest to preach the gospel if he needs to. Only the Lord was his dread. Therefore, the Lord became what? A sanctuary. That's what I'm talking about. A lot of Christians are always blame. When I get here, I start laughing. They start fighting their enemies inside dreams. A lot of Christians are always blaming witches and wizards. The truth is that they are the ones that are afraid of what the people fear. Let me tell you something. Christians, listen, in today's Nigeria and Africa, I want to instruct Christians, don't fear these witches that the people are fearing. It has come to the church. Many of the things that the church, all right, does, they are just things that the world carried with them when they were coming. They didn't drop it. All this one that we offer sacrifices for this, sacrifice for that, is idolatry carried into Christianity. That is how traditional African worship is. Everything there's a sacrifice. Hear this joke all the time. In your house, you set up an altar. If your altar is a corner in which you pray and praise God, I have no problem with it. But once the thing is physical, you are an idolater. Once your altar, I hear this kind of thing, you will raise an altar to God with a sacrifice. That is idolatry brought into Christianity. The only sacrifices we have as Christians. Listen, I don't want to start talking about the sacrifice of believers now. It is not money we offer to God so that he can do something for us. We do good works. That's the best, that's the closest we are in that area. If you see the hungry, you feed him. If you see the naked, you clothe him. You never do those things for yourself. You always do them for somebody else. Otherwise, you offer praises unto God. Beyond all of this, a total life lived in abandonment to the Lord Jesus Christ is our real sacrifice. Don't bring any idolatry into church because you are afraid of what the people fear. That's what I'm going to emphasize. In this modern day, when you hear things, Christians fear their enemies. Do not fear their fears. Like I say all the time, your enemies can't die before God blesses you. It will break a scripture. What is that scripture? He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You don't want God to break his word just because you don't like people, you're afraid of them. They have to be alive when he's blessing you. That's what the Bible says. He prepares the table before me in the presence of my enemies. Let me say to you again. Just on my mind over the last 2 days. Never ever pray that your enemy should die. If you do that, you are behaving like the devil. Why do I say so? Because in the book of Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said, this is how you will be like your Father who is in heaven. You will pray for your enemies and do good to them that do evil against you. It is the fears of the people they used to pray. What do you mean by their fears? Ah, you are sleeping. Your enemies are not sleeping. So they are afraid. Neither fear you their fears. If my enemies are not sleeping, that's their problem. God has not blessed them. He has not promised to prepare for them anything while they are asleep. So they can't remain awake. As for me, like David, in peace I will always lie down and sleep. For the Lord alone makes me dwell in safety. I will not fear their fears. They are afraid of witches. God forbid, not me. If I see a witch, I will invite him or her for food. Come and eat. The Lord bless you. Sit down. Let us give thanks. If you eat my food and you can still witch, you are not a witch. You can't eat my food and be doing any witchcraft. What kind of nonsense? You eat sanctified food. Because it is sanctified with thanksgiving and prayer. So when I say, Father, oh, thank you for this food. You are a good God. And I give you some of it. You just gave your life to Christ. Don't at all come near my house to eat my food. If you plan to continue to be a witch. Neither fear ye their fears. You see, Christians, they are afraid. Ah, that is the one that pains me. I told this testimony before, I'd like to repeat it. A friend of mine, his father died while he was young. Then one day wanted to go home and go and visit his uncles. And the mother said, don't go there. They are the ones that killed your father. My friend said, okay. He went to the house. Don't eat anything there. They are the ones that killed your father. He sat down there and ate. Don't drink anything. They killed your father. He took the drink and drank. And came back home, told the mother, see, nobody can kill me. Neither fear ye their fears. Many of those who pray against enemies today, they are just afraid of their fears. Talk about this enemy thing again. I just want to help people. The day I had an enemy, physical enemy that was fighting me, I came home and told my wife, this guy has really harassed my soul. So what should I do? Where is that my book, Love, the Way to Victory? Do you know, it was recently I remember that was what I did. I looked for Ken Hagin's book, Love, the Way to Victory, and I read it. This was a man fighting, that is physical, not witch, you know, all those ones, when the witch came in your dream, your fear came in your dream. No witch came to your dream. I hope you know that. If you believe that, you opened the door for devil. No witch came to your dream. Only your fear came to your dream. Familiar spirit trying to make you afraid. There are people who don't talk to their relatives because of this witchcraft thing. I instruct you, go home and go and visit them. Bless them in the name of the Lord. Enter the place. The Lord bless this house. They'll be looking at you funny. Good afternoon, uncle. How are you doing? Just came from church. Just said I should pass. It's been a while. But you people don't ever come here. My mother said you're a witch. That's why we don't come. But the Lord Jesus has made it clear to me that you cannot be a witch. Doesn't mean the man is not a witch. What concerns you? As far as you are concerned, he is not. He is only a witch to you if he can be a witch against you. Are you getting my point? Since he cannot be, what difference does he make? Neither fear you, they are fears. I told you what I heard the other day. Somebody said, they touched my husband. He didn't disappear. Neither fear you, they are fears. After that, I will hug every stranger. Come and remove it if you can. You can't. Neither fear ye their fears. Listen, God said, when you do like that, then I will become for you a sanctuary, a place to hide. That's the emphasis.
Come on. You cannot let, that's my emphasis, the world teach you how to pray. You have to learn how to pray from Jesus Christ. People have learned how to pray from Africans. They take Babalawo's prayer point and bring it into church and use the name of Jesus. Your enemies don't want you to prosper. It's true. What do? We will sacrifice against them. Nonsense. They carry it into church. The world must not teach you how to pray. This prayer against enemies is a worldly and satanic prayer point. Jesus taught us to pray. The only thing he said, we should not fall into temptation. He said, deliver us from evil. That's what he said. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from doing evil. That's actually what he said. Deliver us from doing evil. We don't want to do evil. That is where we give the so-called enemies. And listen, he said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. But Christians now, this is how they do. We wrestle against flesh and blood, but not against principalities and powers. That's the current prayer point. They came to me in the dream. I fought them and I won. Who is the person? Your uncle, your auntie, your mother-in-law. Tell your neighbor it's a lie. Is this familiar spirits that are trying to separate brothers, separate families? Your warfare is still against evil spirits. It is not against human spirits. Your warfare is not against flesh and blood. That's what the Bible says. The world must never teach you, never give you prayer points. Allow the word of God to do it. The only thing Jesus said you should do against your enemies is pray for them. God doesn't want that fellow to go to hell. But this is Christians pray in such a manner that they will go to hell. They'll come and testify. I killed my uncle. There's one man of God that did that one. How did I kill him? I offered the sacrifice in Mercedes Benz. Then the man died. And everybody is rushing to come and kill their uncle. If your uncle dies, you must never be happy. One of our brothers the other day, the uncle died. You know why? Because he did the man good. Because the man did them bad, they did him good in return. After doing all the evil, he asked for 1,000 naira, he gave him 2,000. That 2,000 set the man on fire. That was not the intention. Have you gone to see him? I'm going now. Greet him. Preach to him. Don't let him go to hell. When the man saw the spirit coming, he died. He saw they are coming. He ran. They only came to do him. I told him, if you get there, don't worry. Whatever money you have, he's sick, he's in hospital. Drop some money. Buy his drugs. Do the best you can. Preach to him. By the virtue of what is wrong with him, I don't think he will survive. Preach to him. He said, yes, sir. As our Christians treat the people they consider enemies, they pray for them. They do them good. Did anybody rejoice? Hey, he has died. No, it's sadness. Oh, he has died. We are sorry. Now we have to bury. Take care of the people that I left behind. Sorry, oh. That's great. But no, we'll go to church. Praise the Lord. I gave a dangerous sacrifice. When Saul died, David declared national mourning. What has anybody done against you that Saul didn't do to David? He declared national mourning. But we want to start rejoicing. The Bible says God does not delight in the death of a sinner. We delight in the death of a sinner. All my enemies, they have died. Die. When they now finally die, you don't know that that guy is also praying against you. You are also his enemy. I'm telling you, he also goes to a church where they are telling you to die every day. You think you have monopoly of die. We all can call die. Many of the things we do Christians these days, pure witchcraft. Witchcraft in the name of the Lord. Once you start physically directly attacking a human spirit, you are practicing witchcraft. We are not allowed to try to control any human spirit. We're not allowed. That's called witchcraft. Everything we do must be through God. If it's an enemy, in quotes, The only instruction we have from the scriptures is pray for the person. Listen to me. God is not dead. He's wise. He knows how to protect you. The reason why we pray the kind of prayer we pray these days in Christianity is fear. Pure, undiluted fear. What am I saying? God said, neither fear you their fears. He said, it is the Lord of hosts whom you should regard as holy. He shall be your fear and he shall be your dread. Then he shall become a sanctuary. That's my emphasis. Then he shall become a sanctuary. Then he shall become a sanctuary. That is, what does it mean to fear God? Let me just say that one. Then I introduce what I wanted to say today. Then we'll continue that next time. Now, let me just say something to you quickly. I feel like introducing this matter of the will of God again, as part of the fear of God. What I mean by the fear of God and the will of God, this is the very thing I mean. Your life is not your own. Let's go over that thing again. You don't belong to yourself. You belong to Him. You belong to God, the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, who died and rose again on your behalf. Every single thing about you belongs to Him. For that reason, everything must be used to please Him. The primary thing about your life must be, am I in the will of God or I am not? I'm not going to make an issue here. When we're talking about neither fear you their fears, okay? I'm fearing God alone. One major thing that people fear, you know, I said it the other time, is poverty. Can you remember that? As a consequence, they often walk away from where God has planted them. And that's just something that stays in my mind. Because the next thing I want to explain is to ask all, in fact, I thought I'll start with that today, but yet I didn't start with it. I want everybody to ask himself, herself this question. What exactly am I living for? I'm trying to get started, all right? It'll just be an introduction, 5 minutes and I'm out of here. The next time we'll continue. One of my friends the other day, one of our brothers, he called me and he said that a friend of his, they work in the same establishment, and the fellow took time out to show how he had planned his life, how he had planned everything, his finances, his family, and everything, and that currently he is worth over $1 million. A young man talking. And so he has done things so that if he dies now, that's what this brother told me, I've made sure everybody is safe, everybody is secure. It's no problem. I've financially secured them. He said it made him think. And he went back home. And he sat with his wife and they began to ruminate about life. He said because of what that young man said, his colleague at work, he made up his mind that this man is laying up his treasure on the earth. I have to be as aggressive as him in laying my own in heaven. That's what he told me. He said, because as one man is being aggressive in securing the earth, I have to be that aggressive in laying up things in heaven. Now, he wasn't trying to be selfish. That is, let me so that he can. He said, no. If this man is committed to what he knows like this, how committed am I to what I know? Are you getting what I'm not explaining? There's a message I write a lot these days. No, in fact, my wife went out. By the time she came back, I'll finish what will end up being a mini book. And the title of it, the one I'm referring to, is Don't Quit the Army. Don't Quit the Army. Now, this is what I'm going to explain. That you see, it's taken from the story of Demas in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul said, Demas has departed from me. Why? Because he loved the things of this world so much, he left me and went to Thessalonica. But the other people went to different places, we don't know why. We know Titus must have gone for a good reason to where he went. And then Crescens went somewhere else. We don't know exactly why they went. But Demas' reason was told us that it's because he loved the world so much. Are you getting my point? This is our brother said that when he heard how a man has structured his life, he made up his mind. He has to promote the kingdom of God
Because I have one thing other many most people don't have, and that is Jesus. He said, if indeed, now listen to this, if indeed I'm a true believer, I must be promoting the knowledge of that Jesus everywhere. That small discussion just tied with, you know, last week I said, I'll go into promoting the kingdom of God. And that's one thing I want to challenge Christians about. Now, this is not just about money, even though money is part of it. But it's primarily about the attitude of life. Let me say a few things to you. You can take lessons from here and there about Muslims. Not all of them, but some, because my friend pastors in Sokoto. He said, to get a house to rent in Sokoto, as an example, if they find out that you're a pastor, they won't give you. The man won't stab you. He's not going to blow up a bomb like the extremists. But he says to himself, denying a pastor accommodation is supporting jihad. Instead of giving to you, we leave it empty. That the rent I'm losing on it is my offering to the jihad. I'm trying to teach kingdom-mindedness. We went to Oka to preach this afternoon. If I was angry with Felix, because he forgot to carry our DVDs. These are our DVDs that contain a lot of messages. And I said, what are we going to do? Are we going to go and play? We want to want these young people to learn this truth. So how can you not pack the DVDs? And you know the way the DVDs are. One single, double pack, 122 messages on prayer. So I was really angry. So it cost us almost an hour because I had to wait for them to repack those things. You know? Then when we got there, we normally sell the double pack here for how much? 600 naira. I told the students, you're buying for 200. They were so happy. Shall I say yes? How much? Normally 600. You're buying for 200. They're like, what? Like, I saw the excitement. They were so happy. They said, normally, Grace to Prosper goes for 550. You're buying for 200. I said, there are two reasons why we're giving it to you like this. One, normally when we go to campuses, we try to drop the materials as low as possible. Even with that low price for the DVDs, I still told them, feel free to share. That if you don't have money, just stand, look for who bought it, and follow the fellow. When he copies, you collect, go and copy. But I told them, I said, listen, the reason why you're getting it like this is, number one, we normally make it very low price for students when we come to campuses. Number two, a man called and said, please, I want you to distribute books free the next place where there are young people where you are going to preach. And I told him, and he's sending 30,000 naira for that purpose. So I told Yinka, tell him that we are not willing to distribute them free. But that we will use it to crash the prices as much as possible. That was the reason. I don't know how much his money will cover. That was the reason why we did what we did. So I told the young people, I'm telling you so that when it gets to your turn, you will know how to behave. Some brothers called me the other day. They said, Pastor Banky, what price can we get choices key to destiny? We need a large volume. I said, what do you call large? I said, we can try and get the price as low as possible. And for us, listen, truly, it's not about the money. You'll see in a moment. I said, like, how many? He said, 5,000 copies. Said, what do you want to do 5,000 copies? He said, some brothers want to distribute them to every secondary school, SSS student they can find, senior secondary school, starting from Edo State. Then we had an idea. I called Stanley, we redesigned it a bit, removed the spine, so as to make it just teaching. Then the back would not be this hardcover. That's what they will use what they call matte paper design. I said, how much can each one come to if we are doing 5,000? Stanley calculated and said 55 naira. I said, bam! I told them, no problem. It's going to cost 55 naira. So just reached out to brethren. I said, if you give us 70 naira a copy, all right? 55 for printing. Then transportation, they will send people around who they have to pay their transport logistics. I told them, look, just run a copy to around 70 naira. So just to brethren that listen, for every 7,000 naira you give us, we guarantee you we will give a young... In fact, they said, look, you guys have read the book. We guarantee you that we'll give it to 100 students. Normally, the book on the street is 200 naira for one. So this, I said, look, let the brethren know. And if you give us 70,000 naira, we guarantee that we'll give that book to 1,000 students. What am I getting from it? Do you understand my point? Zero. But these young men said they want every secondary school student to read the truth and know it. Are they going to come to their churches? The two of them don't pastor churches. They just said, no, we have read this thing. Every young man, every young woman should read it. What would they benefit personally? Personally, nothing. What am I benefiting as the author? Nothing. The book is available on the website anyway for free download. You know that. Why am I telling this story? To let you see how people reason. What's pushing those young people, those young men? They said, we have to propagate the truth. Why will an Alaji deny a church accommodation? He said, it is my contribution to jihad. I'm asking you a question. What are you living for? That's just that. We'll discuss it for the next time. What is it that's actually pushing you? A man went to work and his colleague explained how he had done business, moved money, arranged money, now he had over $1 million. And he went back home and told his wife, so where do we get our own $1 million? Say, let's put it in heaven. I don't know whether you get that their reasoning. So after that, they said, let us be more aggressive. Let us preach this gospel. What am I saying to you? Ordinary standing for righteousness that you don't even have to pay money. Even if it will cost you money, you know you are standing for something. Are you getting what I'm saying? Before, I used to like minding my business. I told my wife recently, I think I should mind less of my business and mind other people's businesses. What I mean is this. If we have a good relationship and you are doing what is bad, I think I will talk to you. If you like, don't like me. I said, I can't just keep quiet again. I can't just watch people ruining their lives and mine. Yeah, we're in the same church. You know what I'm saying? The body of Christ. What am I going to say? What are you living for? That's my own. The house you want to build, it won't go to heaven with you. I hope you understand my point. Tornado can come remove it just to teach you a lesson. God is not angry. Say, you're a nice guy. I like you. But this house, let me just destroy it first. We'll build another one. Then one day we'll just go out. Say, everybody, we'll see you. We're going for holiday. As soon as you drive to the next junction, you hear, boom, boom. I was listening to David Posse. He said they renovated the church in England for, is it either 3.8 million pounds or 38 million pounds? I think it's 3.8 million pounds. A cathedral. He said, and they put in the latest, what they call lightning protection, you know, this thing. On a day that it did not rain and there was no cloud, a lightning came, struck the building and destroyed it. This was in England. On the day that there was no rain, no cloud, that they looked at the meteorological images, you know, the satellite images that day, the only cloud nearby was small. They said that kind of cloud does not generate lightning. Yet, a lightning struck it, and people saw the lightning, blew up the latest lightning protection system, and destroyed the building. And if the pastor said, God wanted to teach England a lesson. So all the material things we are pursuing in life, that's how temporal they are. Like I said, I'm not preaching on that now. Next time we'll talk about it. But ask yourself this week, what exactly am I living for? And I want to challenge you to please live for the advancement of the kingdom of God. Are you getting my point? He said, one died for all, that those who live may no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. That is what is pressing my heart, which is the next thing I want to share with the people of God. Live like you are a soldier of Christ. That's what I talk about. Don't quit the army. Last time we were in Owerri, Olayinka, can you remember that story? Can you remember the story of that girl, the nurse that was in the village? She quit the army and she died for it. Why did she quit the army? They said, how much are they paying you? The man said, this girl went to a village to go and work as a nurse in a mission hospital. The money was small, but the mission was paying. After a while, the mission, they didn't have money again. They cut it again. The family said, how much are I paying? All this work. For what? He said, but there was an issue. While she was there, she started a Bible study. All the people around, in fact, that there was a time, the DPO's wife of the police station covering that area used to come. The DPO came and arrested this guy and locked her up. That's how much work that was going on. After a while, the DPO started coming for the Bible study. The man telling all the story said he used to go, you know, to go and preach. It became like a church, actually. But because she was a young lady, she really couldn't do all the work. So people were coming, the brothers were taking. So when the Haslari went that way, she was walking. Some of these brothers gathered and said, let's offset some of this thing. So they're contributing some money and paying her a little extra. Just so that she will not leave the place. But the family pressed her, until finally she resigned. And she went to where she got a job in a big hospital with better pay and married an HIV positive man, infected her. I think she became sick and died. You know why she died? She quit the army. And God said, you are not useful to me if you are not in the army. Demas has departed from me, having fallen in love with this present age. And he ran to Thessalonica. The church died, I don't have to tell you. That church closed up. That's why I want to leave this one with you. We'll discuss it next time. It's not part of our message for today. Ask yourself this week, what exactly am I living for? What is my gra? So I can build a house which will collapse certainly one day, no matter how fine. I told you, Buja Arab is coming down. You know I told you before? And here, there's a new one that's going to join. It's called Burj Khalifa. You know what's Burj Khalifa? He's going to come down. David Paulson said, God brought down Twin Towers for the same reason he sank the Titanic. Well, he said that one, no. That the devil brought down the Twin Towers. But God was watching and made sure the thing fell. He said, just in case you don't know, the Twin Towers, the Trade Center, all right, was built to withstand a plane running into it. That the engineering of the Twin Towers was built so that if a plane hit it, it won't come down. Do you know that's exactly what happened? The plane hit both towers, it didn't come down. He said, but they overlooked one thing. They didn't think about the effect of fuel. So when the planes hit, the impact could not bring down the towers. But the fuel began to burn until the metal columns melted. He said, the same reason Titanic sank. You know, the man who designed Titanic said, even God cannot sink it. God said, yeah, insult upon injury. They've been insulting me all this while I didn't talk. Now a man now mentioned my name. He took his neighbor's wife, I did not talk. He did all the other things, I didn't talk. Then he carried it this far and mentioned my name. Say, I will not sing Titanic. I won't. I'll ask one small angel to do it. So two angels just went there. And Titanic went down. The Lord is good. What am I going to say? All of us, please, this weekend, reason. Say, what is my life about? Let me put it like this. Make your life valuable. That's what I want to say. Pursuing money and worldly success is unnecessary. Ask yourself, how am I promoting the kingdom of God? There are two ways to promote God's kingdom. Let me quickly say it. The first one is one I'm going to mention and I go. One, make sure it is firmly established in your life. That's all. That's all I want to say. I want to start a business. Why? I need more money. Why? I want to build a house. Why? I'm starting a church. Why? Let's bow down our heads. Let's just take a minute and say, Lord, what am I living for?